You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, and now streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for... Tonight's host is John Joining John will be AfterBuzz co-hosts Stuart Lill and Phil Svitek. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 347-855-8269. That's 347-855-8269. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, John
Welcome, everybody, to another AfterBuzz, the first edition of Justified.
Yeah, Rich, our announcer, couldn't get us the title in time, so we piecemealed that together, and we were supposed to go on and say, Justified, but we forgot.
Yeah, we blew that royally. Let's hope that doesn't continue.
I blame it on Stu.
Sorry.
Yes, Stu.
By the way, I just want to thank our AfterBuzz TV band. You guys are the greatest. And I love that theme song every time we cue in.
Oh,
and
that's nice.
But they're the great. We'll never show the band leader though.
He's very shy. Not very telegenic.
Right. They get the hell out of here as soon as we get cued on air. But great group of guys. I hope we can bring them on sometime.
Perhaps in our Ask the Manager edition of AfterBuzz TV, followed by our Charlie Sheen edition.
Oh yeah, excellent.
We are working on a Charlie. Our own Maria Menounos. She can get Charlie Sheen in here. She just has been away on the road, so that is why we haven't.
Well, something to look forward to.
Indeed. Well,
we need to bring him back. He's 2 days straight now. I haven't seen him on the news.
I know.
He's completely vanished.
So we just brought him up.
Good. Okay. Yeah.
There you go. He's
back. That's an exclusive.
That's right. Bring it right back into the news.
No exclusive. No,
AfterBuzz TV exclusive.
That's right. Charlie Sheen, wherever you are missed. Because we want you winning. But I will say this, John didn't want to host.
I had no idea was hosting.
Okay, so I will take the reins. I apologize because what seems to be happening is all of the people at AfterBuzz think it's a requirement to be on the shows. And so I will do my best with Justified. This is my first episode. And what I'm going to really start doing is not hosting shows that I don't know because our fans deserve better.
They do.
They really do. But anyways, I will take the reins and... you can send your hate mail to me at info@AfterBuzzTV.
I look forward to reading that on the air.
So that'll be fun. As always, we've got... what are you doing, John?
I thought we might be talking about it.
One of the things for those of you in radio land, as we like to refer to, we're watching the TV show on our screen muted, so we get to reference it every now and then. For those of you on Ustream, you get to see it, so... and by the way, the opening theme
is this illegal, by the way, that we're giving everyone, I mean,
legal,
illegal. Yeah, totally.
Define legal.
Why? We're promoting their show. I'd be upset too, Stu. If you said,
Someone could just tune in and watch the entire episode without actually having cable.
Can't they do that anyway?
Well, I don't know. I'm just wondering.
No, because the camera's on me right now.
Oh, okay. So we chop it up right now. Gotcha.
And B, it's on mute.
Okay. I shouldn't bring this up on the air. I don't want lawyers digging into our company.
Because they're not, Stu. In fact, we've had showrunners. The reason why we did Human Target was because Elizabeth Kiernan, one of our people who does Glee, she also works on Human Target as the writer's assistant. And he said to her, wait, you do Glee and you don't do our show? Let's go. What are you doing? And so they called in, the writers called in for their show. They had the whole Human Target crew here, the writer's assistants, and they did our Human Target show. So, and what showrunners love us, Stu.
And then you...
But this is clearly, like, I'm trying to get the Justified, but you just won't let me get there.
But I'm just saying, this is like the equivalent of, like, Russian movie piracy where... where there's a camera on like a movie
Stu,
screen.
You know what? You know what, Stu?
This is Stu's first and last video appearance here at AfterBuzz TV.
It's like, who invited him?
I know. By the way, okay, so if we're off on this tangent, I'm just going to try to wrap this up as quickly as possible and then get into Justify. But Stu, let's talk about your appearance.
Oh, okay. Yes, Phil.
I love how you...
You did tell him it was video.
I did tell him. Stu thinks camera ready is coming in flip-flops, typing on his computer.
Not typing. Can't see my flip-flops.
By the way, for those of you who don't know, Stu does a bunch of our other shows like Southland, Californication, and Big Love. Mm. And he does Big Love and Californication with our own Kevin Undergaro. And when Kevin speaks certain points, Stu, being a wannabe writer, takes the notes down because he thinks he can't... There's no way of recalling this information
ever
again.
Words are gold, Phil. I have to take him down then.
He's just diligent.
Yes, and I would buy that if you couldn't download the podcast.
But I'm inspired right then and there. It's an epiphany every time I'm with Kevin.
Well, I mean, we're going to have to practice that.
Justified.
Anyway, yes, Justified.
I think his taking notes is justified. Speaking of Justified.
Mm, thank you.
Let's get right into this one.
Yeah, well, for one of the things that I want to start with is the theme song. I liked it a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And our own DJ Jesse, he's a DJ, loves music. That's why we call him that.
Absolutely.
He didn't know the genre of this music, and I'm kind of disappointed. Pipe in when you're ready, Jesse. No? It's called Gangster Grass, as Steve found.
Gangsta.
Gangsta.
Gangsta Grass.
Gangsta Grass.
Yes.
There we go.
Very nice.
Mm. I mean, I call it a country rap, but mm-hmm. I got to say, it's very justified.
Yeah. It's got that, oh boy, I'm blanking here. A banjo. It's got I think it's a banjo going on.
Yeah, that would be.
It's got all kinds of things in there.
Yeah.
Since I slacked on this, every week I'll bring you a different
genre of music?
No, well, not a different genre. I'm going to give you a different song from
Gangsta Grass.
Gangsta Grass,
nice.
Every week,
okay.
All right?
So a different sampling of Gangsta Grass every week.
Yeah, I'll do my research.
Way to go.
We'll look forward to that. Mm-hmm. Okay. But back at the episode, for some reason, Stu was confused by the interrogation.
Yeah, the interrogation, they were in the marshal's office and they were interrogating Boyd. For those who didn't see it last week, Boyd was caught up in a robbery, basically, of the mine. He works at the mine, and so these other guys had befriended him and said, hey, we're going to steal money from the mine. And they coerced him into helping them. But mm-hmm. his plan all along was to ensure that... he didn't get killed by them, and instead, not only would he not get killed by them, but he would turn the tables on them, and they would end up being killed, so that he could get out from under having to deal with them or having to being killed by them. And it turned out it worked out all well for everybody, but in return, he ended up taking some money from the mine and he gave it to Eva, the woman in the scene.
Right.
Who he's living with at the moment, not as a boyfriend or girlfriend or anything like that, but he's living in the same house with her, and he knew she was, they were going to take the house from her because she was behind in her payment, so he took some of the money and gave it to her so she could keep her house. Mm. And he was basically telling her, you can either tell the cops on me or not, either way, I'll understand. And so she chose not to tell the cops, and so they were being interrogated about the robbery, about the killings, and where the money is.
Hmm. And Boyd mentioned to Raylan, like, just right after that, saying, you know a little something about, what, helping out?
Because he used to be the boyfriend of Eva.
Right. Raylan for Eva?
Raylan and Eva were hooking up for a while.
Okay.
Until that went south, pardon the pun.
Gotcha.
And he ended up starting to see his ex-wife again.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
Yeah.
And by the way, Boyd is the brother of Eva's husband, her former husband, who is dead now.
Oh, so that Tennessee or that Kentucky bloodlines
John,
are pretty crazy.
We need a diagram next time.
Yeah,
so
I know. I'll
we
get
can
that
point
out
to the things.
Regardless, Boyd's a great character, and so it was a little disappointing not to see more of him. I just love his manner. His great acting. He's so quiet, and he's got this great tone in his voice, and he just really eats up the dialogue.
Is he still a man of God? Because the last time,
well, here's the thing. Yeah. He was trying to turn his life around because he's really been a he's been a bad guy. He's always stealing, hurting, killing people, all that kind of stuff. And he's turned his life around to God, and he'd surrendered to God and everything like that. And he tried that path, and apparently it did not work out for him. Because, first of all, nobody believed the conversion. So anytime anything went wrong, they always thought Boyd was a part of it. Mm-hmm. So he knew that if there was a bomb blast at a mine in a mine shaft, they knew they'd come looking at him.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the reason why the three guys that eventually got killed in that mine blast came after Boyd or wanted his help was because they needed a powder man.
Mm-hmm.
And so he knew that no matter how what goes down here, I'm going to get blamed for it.
Mm-hmm.
So he found a way to get out of it without, and as I mentioned earlier, without dying and implicating somebody else at the same time.
I also just wanted to take a step. Let's take a step back of how we actually, why we're doing Justified, because your passion showed through in that regard.
Yeah,
and the way you spoke about it. And John, tell us the story of why we are actually covering Justified.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I just saw this four weeks ago. I started watching this. Somebody told me, "Yeah, you got to see this." And I like Timothy Oliphant first of all to begin with. Mm-hmm. I've enjoyed the movies he's done. And I just enjoy his acting. And then I found out it was based on an Elmore Leonard book. So, and he always writes great characters. He's got great dialogue, and the stories are really compelling. So I figured, this has got to be pretty good. And I just found out from Jesse that
22 of his books were turned into movies and two into TV series.
I mean,
and
that's
tons of that we all know.
Pretty impressive.
Is that more than Stephen King?
I don't know. That's a great question. But we'll see if Jesse can figure that out for us. But anyway, so it had all that going with it. And then I just heard really good and interesting things about it. And then the first one I saw, as you can see from this, this is a whole world I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm just not really familiar with Harlan County or the goings-on. And you didn't see it as much in this particular episode, but when you see, I've seen a few of the others, it's just a whole world I've never seen, I've never heard. I was fascinated by it. I thought the dialogue was amazing, and the casting is incredible. I mean, everybody they got, you just go, yeah, okay, I believe that. Yeah, I believe that one. They just seem like these people.
Mm-hmm.
I think the job is terrific all around.
Well, that's when John approached me and said we should do one, and then I sent out an email to all my hosts, and I said, anyone interested? And Stu came in, and Stu, what draws you to the show?
Timothy, main character who plays Raylan, actually. I've seen him in Damages. I saw him in Deadwood, and I love his I love his acting. I loved him in those two series, and then about 4 weeks ago, too, I started watching it, season one, and I saw a trailer, which was the opening of the series, that just set everything in motion, was when Raylan was in Miami, and that's where he came from, and he just went up and shot a guy, made him pull first, whatever. I thought it was a great. It just pulled me right into the series, but I mean, I'm jumping ahead way far because I'm still like mindset of episode two, season one. So a lot of things have obviously changed. Some things I saw coming, some things I didn't. But like you said, it's a different world. It's you don't typically see cop shows that are out of the city. But in a small town atmosphere, and I mean, he's playing like a 19th, 18th century marshal in like a 21st century world, and it's I love the combination.
The juxtapositions are great because they have all this high tech stuff. Not that they really use it because they don't.
Yeah.
But it really feels like an old western, but there's a modern sensibility to it that is just. I mean, it's just a great mix.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for me, there, it's by his desk. He has that poster behind him. And it's very much like you would see at a salon of like wanted, you know what I mean? It's very Western, and that made me chuckle.
Yeah,
And just the fact that Stephen King actually has roughly about 80 of his books turned into movies
Jesus,
and TVs.
What a jerk!
Share the wealth, dude.
You had a pretty good speech this week regarding the regarding everything that's going on in like Wisconsin, Florida, and unions. Mm-hmm. But I know he's not a jerk per se, but I am jealous of Stephen King. But anyway, where were we?
Well, the man's got, you can't argue, he's got talent.
He has got talent.
Yeah.
And you know what?
He's a brilliant man.
He will be the first to admit his work is not genius, but, you know, entertaining. Anyway.
I think he has some genius stuff.
I agree, but he won't agree.
Okay, that's true. He's very humble.
He is. He is indeed. We obviously get the interrogation, and then we're taken to the opening credits, which, we love the gangsta grass.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, is not a genre of music, as I just found out. is the name of the artist who performs the song.
I think it still could be a genre. I think it could be called a genre.
Stu, you made me feel bad, and I promised all these
people. Jesse, why would you screw that up, Mr. Musical Genius?
Well, because I've never heard of the artist Gangsta Grass.
Oh, well.
Nice. Okay.
I need to get their records.
All right.
AfterBuzz needs to start doing research. We don't know music. Come on.
We don't know how many books have been turned into movies. We have to.
Exactly. This is terrible. We
can't even get our cue right to say the title of the show.
I know. It's terrible.
Ragtag.
Why is your name bleeped out, by the way?
It's offensive to the FCC.
Okay.
No, I thought John does our Beyond Scared Straight edition, and it was because you didn't want people associating you or with the things you said. So we blurped out your name. But now I think people, I mean, if your name ever leaks, they'll kind of get the connection.
You think?
I mean, it's put two and two together. Yeah. It's justified.
Speaking of which.
Okay. So we end up at the house. There's an argument because of the collateral is the house because he bought a horse.
He used the house as collateral to buy a horse.
That's really?
Yeah. But it's a show horse.
What do you mean? It's a show horse.
Well, so a show horse would be much more expensive and desirable by other buyers. So he's looking at it as an investment, not just a workhorse. It's not a workhorse.
So, but is it like it still races, right? Is that what does a show horse do? It shows up, they do they don't necessarily race, but they do the tricks and things like that.
Not really being from the equestrian world, I'm not exactly sure what a show horse does, but I can only imagine that if it's a, I think he said show horse, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would imagine it does, dog show stuff, but with horses, I guess, either that or
I'm saying. So it's not like the horse track, it's the one where they're jumping over.
Right.
I don't know.
They're the ones that do the tricks.
Yes. Okay. I don't know. For me, unless you really, really have the money and can blow it, you know, don't really put your money on horses. Not for me.
Don't bet on the horses, huh?
No, I really don't. All right, well, you know, and certainly not enough to put a house down as collateral.
No, I don't think that would be a wise choice, which I think is why she was all upset. So, and rightly so.
Mm-hmm. But I just love him, how in his mind it's justified of just let me explain, you know, it's a show horse. Yeah. Like, are you out of your mind? Yeah. Is he out of his mind?
I don't know enough about that world. I just love that the fact that he put up his house for collateral. Why would you do that? I don't care how good the horse is.
But like, John, you're an actor. What, I mean, obviously when you're an actor, you want to occupy the space of the character you're playing. And so in his mind, this is totally justified.
Of course. Yes, in his mind it is, absolutely.
But how do you prepare for that of actually thinking you know what, putting up a house
that's
for a horse?
That's a good idea. Well, I imagine you, as an actor, you'd have to do your research and go, oh, okay, this is what these kinds of horses do. And that, you know, they're worth quarters of millions of dollars.
Well, yeah, there's something greater to be had in there. What is that investment? How much are we talking? The percentage you retain is in the millions, you know, versus your house?
I can't say it any other way.
Stu,
I don't know enough about horses.
I know it's not goji juice where it's goji. A pyramid scheme, but I don't know. I guess they just have a whole set of different values over there. Mm-hmm. And, I don't know what you can bank at a horse show. I don't know what money you get out of it.
Well, if you think just, you know, when they use the horse for, what did they call that?
Glue?
No, not glue.
I don't know.
Animal husbandry. When they're, you know, selling seed and all that other stuff. They get $10,000 a shot or whatever those things are for. So, I mean, who knows? I mean, that could be making a lot of money for you. Mm. I don't know.
I also didn't, I mean, I was going to ask if, because obviously they've split, Gary and Winona. So I didn't know if this was out of spite or something. I mean,
well, he's trying to win her back by selling the house, but he wants her to divorce her. This is his plan. Uh-huh. I want to win you back, but we need to divorce first because our house is underwater, meaning, you know, they owe more than it's worth. Mm-hmm. And if we're both on the hook for that, that's going to ruin you financially. Mm-hmm. So divorce me, I'll take the hit for it. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, what he was also doing, apparently, is putting the house up, whatever collateral is left. I don't know how you have collateral on the house if you own what it's worth. But let's just say
it's a weird banking system.
It is,
in this country.
So you have no equity in it. But let's just say he does it. But that's part of his plan to get out from under all this burden that they have. Mm-hmm. So, and then she's freaked out because, for obvious reasons, like, what are you, mm-hmm. what are you thinking? Mm-hmm. So that's what that was about. Okay. So yeah, they split up. But he's trying to get back together with her.
Yeah.
Well, at least that makes sense. That, you know, in his mind, he could justify that. Whereas the answer you were giving before was just, yeah, I don't know.
Well, because I didn't know. But I think we should start a drinking game. Every time Phil says justify or justified, we should start drinking.
Well, it's just you know what? I commend these shows for picking those one-word titles that describe the show, like Shameless. Mm-hmm. Right. What those people do is so shameless. Yeah, There's no better word of description.
You know what you're getting into.
So, you know.
Okay.
So kudos.
Duly noted.
Then we go to the evidence room, mm-hmm. and we don't have the key to the cage. Mm-mm. By the way, very underwhelming evidence room. Or no, I don't know.
I'm not familiar with too many evidence rooms. It looked fine to me.
It seemed very disorganized. I don't know, the fact that it seemed like a janitor's closet, but with an, you know, I don't know.
From what I know, these things aren't like the most well-kept places. I mean, they're just...
And I'm comparing to Southland, because Stu and I do, which is about cops in L.A.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Clearly different, but, you know, that's my point of
reference. But what's so disorganized about it? They just, you know...
I don't know.
They had lockers.
They had lockers and locked boxes.
Yeah.
I thought the only thing that was weird about it was so lax about it. Here, take the keys. Reception's horrible. Here, go ahead, do whatever you need to. But then she works for the prosecuting. She works for the prosecutor office, something. I can't remember what she does.
Yeah.
But they obviously know her. She's in those circles. So why would you wouldn't give those keys to somebody you didn't trust? So she has to be working in those circles to some degree.
Yeah.
But you still give those keys.
You definitely wouldn't give that to a defense attorney.
No. Nah, probably not be a good idea.
But I would hold the same standards for a prosecutor
but
as well.
But the strangest thing was, okay, Raylan, who is a marshal, doesn't have a key to that room.
Yeah.
This guy, because apparently he can't.
Right.
But... here, I'll give you mine. Yeah. And he gives it to some woman. So I can't give it to the marshal for him to get in, but I can give it to her.
So it's not justified?
No, that was not justified at all. That didn't make sense.
Can we get some beers in here?
Well, we do. Stu was sipping on our beers from last night's St. Patty's Day celebration.
Yes.
So we had a few leftover green ones.
And we're happy to see that Phil's in fine working order this
I was
morning. Wasn't this morning but
doing.
This afternoon nice to
yeah
see
it took
you,
some yeah,
somebody
nice
wasn't answering my calls until 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, what can I say? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I got over-served this morning, that's for sure.
Yes, you did.
You
get a good feeling for their relationship, those guys. I thought that what they did nicely in this particular episode between the two of them, Raylan and Winona, is you see their history, even though they don't say much, you can see their history, which I thought was great. Mm-hmm. And they really did a great job of withholding the issue that they have to deal with. So it carried through the whole movie. Because even at the end, not the movie, but even at the end of the episode, he says, you know, we have to talk about this. Mm-hmm. So, and they're continuing to keep that thread running through all the episodes, which is great because they're really being stingy about giving you information.
Well, yeah, as they walked into the Evans room, they kind of had their, you know, generic conversation.
Yeah.
And obviously, as a writer, you tend to avoid that stuff. But they really turned it on a dime when she wants an answer from him, and sort of the truth comes out, like, I don't have a key. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's where it took like the greater turn of like now they have to get something. But obviously, there was a huge subtext mm-hmm. to what they were talking about.
Yeah.
So. I'm not articulating that as well.
Which was talking about having a kid or something, and that seemed, you said withholding, but that, I see that was really forward.
Oh, well, that's from another. So what I'm talking about, they're talking about stuff that they don't, isn't really the issue.
Mm-hmm.
So you aren't really aware of that because you hadn't seen previous things.
Yeah.
I think what they really need to be talking about is something else. So, and that's what they still haven't talked about.
Okay.
Well, the sad truth is anyone in life, we never fully say what we mean, and so therefore there's always...
What do you mean?
I don't know. I wish I knew. See, I don't know. Okay. There's always a subtext. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I.e. the subconscious mind. After Buzz TV. That's right. That's right. I'm going to learn you.
Okay.
And in this scene, we get the sort of inciting incident for a greater scheme,
yep.
Which is she takes the money.
Takes the money. Takes some. Mm-hmm.
And this is going to obviously carry, we'll predict what's going to happen with all of this. But in the short term, it leads her to go to the bank. Mm-hmm. And the incident, and would you say this was the inciting incident of this episode, bank robbery, or no, or is that just an act?
No, that was had to be taking the money, right?
Yeah, she okay. doesn't take the money. That's what drove everything forward. Yeah, she can go to the bank, but if she didn't have the money when she went to the bank, there's no.
Okay.
There's no sale.
Glad you guys disagree.
Okay.
So she goes.
No, we just agreed, didn't we? Didn't he? We agreed.
Yeah, but you disagreed with me.
Oh, okay. Well, that's the point, I guess.
So we go to the bank, and ironically, she's hesitant to go there, and she's about to leave, and that's when
all hell breaks loose.
Yeah. So quite unfortunate. If she had just gone 2 seconds sooner, she would have made it out.
It's a game of inches.
It is, you know, very Alfred Hitchcockian, where of like, okay, I could have gone left today, mm-hmm. But I should have gone right, and everything would have been okay.
By the way, that's what kind of interests me about this series, is how, when I first watched it, I actually was getting into it expecting a plot line with Boyd, just Boyd, basically, to last the entire series or season, and then it turns into different criminals each episode. I just thought that was interesting, considering you don't typically think of really really highly charged crimes with coal mines blowing up and bazooka, that was in season one, but bazookas blowing up churches and bank robberies, and I mean it's a lot for one little town, and
a lot going on down there. It's like, wow.
Well, it's always funny, like you sort of look back on all these shows like Desperate Housewives, like if you put on paper like everything that the street deals with, like murderers, rapists, like, oh my God.
It's the last place in America you want to live is on.
Yeah.
Stereo
Universal.
So, you know, TV is like life. Yeah. It is not exactly like life.
Right. I agree.
But let's talk about the bank robbery in that case.
Yeah.
I love how you guys pointed out this guy's air tank, Frank.
Yeah,
as we later learned,
it was their tank.
Very, for me, I thought like, oh my, I thought my mind went to No Country for Old Men, where this was his weapon of choice.
Yeah,
versus his necessity.
Yeah, right. And that's what you said. I casually mentioned that he was using it to breathe. Yeah. So.
But I mean, so interesting how. That this is the ringleader of this whole thing.
Yeah, and again, I don't remember if I've read an Elmore Leonard book, so I can't really speak to that. But usually in the movies that are made from his
adapted.
Books, yes, thank you. They've always got these things. It's very because I just you don't usually see a bank robber wheeling around an air tank and sucking off of it. You just don't usually see that.
Yeah.
And he's the ringleader, so to speak. So I just kind of find that interesting.
And then, but they did deepen his character. I mean, you saw he came from, obviously with that witness or woman who knew him, apparently he became a good guy. But before that, when he did.
That was his wife, by the way.
Oh, that was his wife.
That
okay,
his
I
wife.
Missed that
and
part.
And he'd been in prison for 30 years.
Right, yeah, he'd been imprisoned. But before, he definitely came from a darker place when he put the gun up to the other bank robbers.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
But
that was all a ruse, because he was just doing that to get them to rob the bank so he could take his getaway.
Mm-hmm.
So he did. So I don't know if that was really him or
doing
that to make that.
But he wasn't running. But he wasn't flying off in the distance to go back to his wife.
He was flying off to get Mexico.
Yeah,
but it doesn't mean he didn't love her.
Yeah.
That was hysterical. That was
I mean, that's he opened up. I love my wife.
Yeah.
That was the opening bit of that conversation at the end.
But here's the other thing. I mean, he might have, I mean, it could be, and again, this is why I thought this was hysterical. He loves his wife, and I believed that. I bought that. I also thought if he loved him, I get why he would want to leave, not just for the hookers in Mexico or anything like that, but I don't want her to have to live through me dying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because that's going to be a painful death for her to watch that and to have to deal with that. And if he really did love her, I get why he would say, you know what? I don't think she needs this.
Mm-hmm.
I get that.
Yeah. Women tend to appreciate that sometimes when they have a late divorce. It crushes them, but at the same time, they're like, well, now I don't have to take care of his ass.
Yeah, exactly. And experience in this field?
Plus the blowjobs.
Yeah. I've heard a firsthand account of such a explanation, yeah. But,
okay.
So I would think she, although she seemed to deeply love him, I think she would have taken him either way. But
Oh, yeah, she would have done it.
Yeah.
She would have easily taken care of him and all kinds of things. I think that was clear. But I get why he would do
that. They have Skype. They have webcams. So they can keep up a relationship across the border.
That's nice. Yeah. It's international, too, so that's good. They got that going for him.
I was surprised by his intelligence. I mean,
because all old people are stupid? Or?
No, just criminals for the most part, my mind, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, this guy had a whole intelligence of when they're in the motel before I forget Bobby Green's friend, as he's mainly referred to, so I don't know his name.
But Wayne.
So when Wayne is strapping on the flares, as we find out eventually, not dynamite.
The bombs.
He played that to a T.
Yeah, he played it great.
You know,
faked the heart attack and the whole thing.
Yeah.
And that's what I think. That takes some guts. I mean, because we don't know as an audience, we didn't know at the time, but he's got a gun. He fakes a heart attack. His gun is taken away at any moment. That guy could have popped him right then. He's already proven. Wayne's already proven that he'll just shoot a guy for moving.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I thought, whoa. If he really faked all that, how did he know that he wasn't going to get shot or killed right then?
Yeah. Well, it's a risk you got to take, I guess. But I guess he just Bobby Green is how you said his name was.
Bobby Green was the smart one,
right? The good guy, I guess he just knew that because he kind of seemed to be sort of always keeping that guy at check. So I guess he just depended on that and rolled with it, and it came out in his favor.
Yeah, exactly.
It did. It really worked out for him.
But speaking to the intelligence thing, he had a plan within a plan within a plan.
This is like breaking down Inception.
Exactly. It was great, though, because he said one thing. I got to get the cops off my back, so I'm going to tell them I'm going to go out in a blaze of glory and meet me here at this bridge. So he got all the cops out of the way. The rest of the cops who were sticking around, he got them out of the way by dropping a dime and saying Bobby Green and Wayne are over at Versailles, as they called it, Versailles, robbing a bank.
Yeah.
So he got everybody out of the way so he can make his getaway.
The one thing I would have liked to know when our man sees the flight simulator program. You know, I would have liked to sort of have an oh wow moment.
You mean the marshal when he sees it on the camera? When he sees it when he's watching the computer and he's
Yeah.
Well, you didn't see his aha moment?
I saw his aha moment, but I didn't realize what it was about, you know?
Yeah, but I think that was specific because he looked at it, he saw it, and then he looked to see that there was nobody in his office, which means I'm going to have to go do this.
Yeah, but I didn't realize, like, I don't know. You guys could tell that was his sort of master plan where he was going to catch a flight.
I only got that just because I recognized it was a flight simulator. I knew what flight simulators are.
What I recognized was okay because they held that camera held on the flight simulator as he left the left the frame. You could see the flight simulator on the on the computer. So I knew right there. Okay, that's going to come back.
Yeah.
So no, I just trusted that they were going
to. And I just, I mean, they explained it fairly well. But I would.
Well, I don't know if you remember, but when Raylan was first talking to his wife about this is after the robbery, and she's, touching up her, tending to her cut. She asks, do you know anybody about the, who was involved in the robberies? And Raylan says, yeah, he did, meaning his boss.
Mm-hmm.
He recognized the old guy. He used to fly planes, etc.
He said that.
Yeah, he did.
I missed that. Okay.
In that there. So when it came back there on the computer,
that was the moment I was talking about missing, but clearly I missed
that,
it.
That because you thought it was a generic conversation between two people, and it was, but it was about planes.
Yeah. Okay. So I must have zoned out or something. Yeah. Because.
But that's
then again,
that's
so there you go. The episode was perfect for me. That was my only pet peeve, and apparently it's non-existent because they did it.
But
I
it was.
Just
but it's interesting that you say that because when they first started talking about planes, I was like, what? You know, and it looks like they're just talking about the old geezer. And yeah, he used to fly planes. Mm-hmm. But you know that they never say. They don't usually 98% of the time the stuff they're saying isn't just for nothing. So yeah. when I saw the flight simulator, I think that's why they were talking about planes.
Yeah. If a gun goes off in Act 3, it must be written in Act 1 in a subtle way.
So, okay. Mm-hmm.
No, all right.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. Right.
So you taking notes?
No taken.
No notes taken. We haven't said anything profound yet. I think that's a problem.
Oh, Stu, that's...
Inspire me, Phil.
That's this. well, Stu, why don't you inspire us by talking about if you had to write on paper the slowest chase in the history of TV and movies, how would you write it?
Yeah. I would give one guy an oxygen tank, and then I would make the other guy a former smoker.
Yeah.
And then... Woman would be running to a plane, right?
Right.
Right. And then, so he's got to ditch it because that oxygen tank will blow up if he shoots
like
it.
Like Jaws.
Like Jaws. Even though that was proven wrong by
Mythbusters.
Mythbusters. So Mythbusters can call in, and that's my pet peeve.
Yeah, but he might not have seen that episode of Mythbusters.
Oh, okay.
He was been in prison
been
for
in
30
prison,
years. So.
But he does know how to use a webcam. Kind of.
But you don't have, I don't think he has a prison webcam where he was.
I don't know. But then. Then he would collapse at the plane, and then he would talk about going to Mexico. And,
by the way, I will say this.
It's all original. It's all Stuart from the mind.
From the mind of Stuart. Yeah. Well, in many ways, I do think you... not necessarily the chase, but the lines they were saying was very reminiscent of Mr. Majestic.
Yeah. I think that is
with Bronson, right?
Yeah, Bronson.
For those of you, it's an
I
older,
think that is an Elmore Leonard.
Yeah?
I think so. I don't know. Jess, can you look that up for us?
It's Mr. Majestic. Majestic spelled in a weird
it
way.
Is,
M-A-J-E-S-T.
That is one of
there
them.
There you go.
So, okay. So, kudos to me. Awesome.
Kudos to me for
this
recognizing
this. This is why I host this show.
See, this is why you
should. Because I bring in information.
Your hosting is justified.
It is. but, Stu, you have no idea what the hell Mr. Majestic is, do you?
No.
You know, I've never seen that? It's classic.
That's not the one with Jim Carrey. I know that.
No, it's not.
No, that's The Majestic. This is Mr. Majestic. Oh.
Yes.
And it's Charles Bronson. He just wants to plant his melons.
Yeah, that's all he wants to do. And him and the bad guy sort of end up together, and they're in this rinky-dink place, down on the ground and just talking. And Charles Bronson is proposed this. Hey, we could go to L.A. tonight, go to Mexico, be in Mexico by tomorrow, bathing and being and getting laid. And in many ways, it's very reminiscent of what the marshal says to Frank. Mm-hmm. But in the movie, Mr. Majestic, as his name is, Charles Bronson, he says, "I've been to L.A., I've been to Mexico, and I've been laid. I just want to do my watermelons."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So everyone should go see that movie.
Yep. It's a good movie. But I love that, Jason. I thought it was hysterical.
Yeah.
I just thought that was great.
Yeah,
that's Jason. And here's the thing. The part of it that I thought was great, he goes, he's got bad knees. He doesn't want to chase him. Oh, come on. He has to chase this old man. And then he goes back for the air tank because it's an old man, and he knows the guy's going to need his oxygen. I mean, that's Southern hospitality. Come on. Seriously.
It really is.
Come on. Yeah.
And the
it's
music.
Amazing.
The music, for me, the music is what really sold it. Like,
yeah, it was terrific.
Yeah, I wonder if that was by Gangsta Grass, the genre versus
the genre and a band. Yeah. It's two things. Mm-hmm.
It should be.
That was funny. Just really enjoyed that. And I liked at the end when he said the whole thing about smoke, and then he digs in to get his own chaw.
That was in nicotine, not nicotine. One thing, Nicorette.
No, that was nicotine.
Oh, okay.
That was tobacco.
Oh, okay.
So he.
I didn't see him do the pinch.
He did the pinch and the whole thing. It's ridiculous. Aren't you glad you gave up smoking?
Start
spitting
nasty.
Away. Yeah, exactly. I just thought that was great. So, but I think this thing's full of moments. Every time I watch it, they're full of these little tiny moments, which to me are very Elmore Leonard-like.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I've enjoyed this, because it's really in keeping with what I know of Elmore Leonard. And I'm not saying that I'm an avid reader, but it's my experience of him based on the movies I've seen. So whatever they're doing, they're keeping that consistent.
So what movies have you, you know, what movies have you seen of his?
Out of Sight is one of my favorites that Elmore, that they converted, adapted, a better word. And Jesse, name off 10. I'm sure you've seen them all.
Well, Mr. Majestic, apparently.
Yeah.
We have Mr. Majestic, 52 Pickup, Valdez Is Coming, Stick, The Tall T, The Ambassador, Gold Coast, 310 to Yuma, Last Stand at Saber River, Get Shorty, Kill Shot, Be Cool, Pronto, Hombre, Cat Chaser, Touch, Glitz,
Hombre,
and Rum Punch, and Jackie Brown.
Yeah. See?
So wow.
Bunch of them.
I like Jackie Brown. I thought that was, I guess I assumed that was written by Quentin.
He adapted.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, but the stories. Yeah.
Interesting. Very well. Now you know. Mm-hmm. Now you know. Now I know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so let's go back to sort of Winoma's money issue.
And yeah, let me speak to that exact, because it ties in with the Elmore Leonard thing. And just about every one of Elmore Leonard's things, and this is something I hold true to myself, true for the world. Dames is trouble. This is what I'm saying. This, every one of his movies, if this dame didn't steal $100, Raylan wouldn't be in the shitstorm he's going to be in. But no, dames is trouble. They're always trouble.
They are. There's a great line from Double Indemnity. I did it for the money, and I did it for the girl. Mm-hmm. I didn't get the money, and I didn't get the girl.
All right. See, dames is trouble. But they're worth it, usually. That's it.
So, John, you have a wife, though?
I do have a wife, but she's worth it.
I feel a divorce.
So Elmore
coming
would
soon.
Side with
just
Ronnie.
Kidding. Just kidding.
What'd you say?
I said I feel a divorce coming soon. But I'm just kidding.
So Elmore would side with Ronnie on the Jersey Shore in the Sam Ronnie face-off.
I don't know if our viewers that watch Justified.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Because really, you said that, and I went, I don't know what happened between them, so I don't know what you're talking about.
I think we have some class wars here at AfterBuzz. And we have the reality section versus what Paul Ashton is spearheading, the smart... Ooh, I'm Paul Ashton. I'm Australian. Clearly a terrible impersonation. But
that was spot on. Spot on.
But yeah, the snotty edition. And so far, I'm the only one that has sort of bridged the gaps because I have to.
That's nice.
You
are united.
But yeah, don't bring in the Jersey Shore on this show. It's
not just
nobody cares.
Okay.
You know,
I brought on other shows and everyone was fine.
Bring up Mr. Majestic, if anything.
Yes.
Bring up things like that, not Ronnie.
That's
and
not
Sam.
That's not in my bookcase, my bookshelf.
Well, we gotta get there. But yes, back to the money.
Yeah.
Thing.
So she steals this. Though she takes this $100 bill or whatever, and it's because of this that he has to make sure that he gets there first to get that, and he has to go through all that money to get that one damn thing back, so she doesn't get.
Isn't that just romantic?
It is romantic. He went through all that for her.
For his ex-wife, who he is still railing?
Still what?
Railing. That's what the kids say.
Railing? No. I don't know. Well, I would imagine at some point they're railing. They're sleeping together. And it seems like they really want to get back together, but they have issues to overcome. Which is what causes.
I don't know what's stopping them. That's that underlying issue.
Well, the underlying issue. Really, they kind of touched on it. Is that she would like to have kids, but really, what it is about is that she can't handle the fact that he's in the job that he's in, and he's always in constant danger.
Right.
Because she doesn't know every time if he leaves the house if he's ever going to come back.
Right.
And I liked this episode for, because if he wasn't that kind of guy, she would have been really big shit right now, because he wouldn't have been able to save her out of this. Mm-hmm. So it's because of who he is and because of the job he has that he's able to save her. So she's going to have to come to terms with that.
It's a double-edged sword.
That's right.
So, but she was going to see that money was going to, it was real for them, right? Not for the house. Now, how do you think Raylan would have reacted?
Well, that's they said the next episode they showed highlights from, and I'm sure that's what they're going to be dealing with, because they even mentioned that is like, haven't you ever taken any? And this is what she poses that question to him, and we get to find out what his code is, which is in a lot of respects this show is also like a lot of film noirs. He has his own code that he lives by, and he, as far as I can tell, it's justified when you kill people. Hence the name of the show. But also, he never steals. So certain things are he holds to the letter of the law, and other things not so much.
Yeah, spirit of the law.
Exactly. So I love, and those gray areas are wonderful. Mm. That makes for this great conflict.
Well, I have nothing to add apart from there, because a lot of everything that I have to say on this subject, obviously, I'm saving sort of more predictions, because that's where it'll transpire with this money situation. Stu, do you have anything to add before we go to commercial on this subject?
No, I'm tapped out.
Stu, give it a little wink for our audiences, for the girls out there listening / seeing it.
Mm-hmm. That was the triple wink right there.
If you think Stu's like outfit is cool.
Does it pop?
Send Stu suggestions.
Yes.
You know.
Send me a shirt and I will wear it. Let's go with that one.
Oh, I can't wait.
That'd be fair. I like that idea.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to look in this one. We're going to have a contest. Please send shirts. Email us at info@AfterBuzzTV and we'll set you up so that way you can send Stu an amazing shirt and he'll wear it.
Nothing's off limits. It's gotta be justifiable.
It's gotta be okay. Mm-hmm. And at the minute, the requirement is he has to have his junk covered up.
Yes, so. That is a requirement. Yeah.
So I didn't know. Anything I didn't else? Know my pants were coming off too.
No, they're not. See-through shirt. I guess that's all right. That's acceptable.
That is acceptable. That,
yeah, I guess. Okay. If it wins, it wins.
As long as it's justified.
Mm, yeah.
And that is the word of the day, justified. That's right. And now, let's go to our justifiably amazing commercial.
Want to find out what the AfterBuzz is about?
Janice is a drama queen.
This is the divide that is going to carry the series.
Give us a call at 347-855-8269.
This television, and they want it to be as dramatic as possible.
I mean, it's Shakespearean.
You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Get in on the AfterBuzz.
347-855-8269. Now, in the eyes of Jimmy, Nucky is a villain.
Listen on iTunes.
I mean, who would you guys rather hear that from?
Find us on Facebook.
Your husband or your best friend?
Follow us on Twitter.
And then she's trying to kill him, so it justifies it. I'm like, oh, now it makes sense.
And visit us at AfterBuzzTV.com.
The wig. Oh, come off.
That wig come off, baby.
No, what?
Boardwalk Empire.
Desperate Housewives.
Glee.
Gossip Girl.
Breaking Bad.
Mad Men.
True Blood.
The Walking Dead.
Big Love.
Jersey Shore.
The Oscars.
Celebrity Rehab.
The Emmys.
If it's hot, you can bet we'll be buzzing about it.
And we're justifiably back.
Justifiably back.
Justifiably. Indeed. I was hoping we'd get our gangster grass music as we were coming in, but I was not privileged. Well, Jesse, why don't we go to our news and gossip for today?
AfterBuzz TV News.
So Walt Disney Studios has announced that they have acquired and are presently in development on a new picture called The Runner. The movie is a science fiction film in which Disney is collaborating with writer Dave Andron, one of the writers of Justified. The story is set in 2027, centers on a man who travels back in time to visit Earth before it became not fit to live in an attempt to change the past. The plot is decidedly non-Disney. It seems reasonable to consider it as a typical post-apocalyptic time travel project.
Mm-hmm. Well, Disney owns everything. So they'll just put that in another sector or company that they own that doesn't have Disney on it. So that's how they get away with it.
Right. It'll be the Lexus of Disney.
So it's justified.
Justified.
Justified. Yeah. All right. Onward.
Justified star Timothy Oliphant has insisted that the show's second season is better than the first. The actor told E! Online that filming the new episodes of the FX drama, quote, felt like getting another run at it. The show's better this year than last year, he claimed. Last year we had an opportunity to try a bunch of different stuff, and then we had this lovely opportunity to look at it and say, this stuff we liked and this stuff we didn't like so much. He continued, we had the opportunity this year to focus on the things that we were really psyched about.
Well, okay. I would hope that you would only grow Otherwise, that's the opposite of progress.
Well, it's nice that they took that opportunity to do so.
Yeah, some people don't. Some people don't. It's very true. Mm-hmm. They get complacent. Mm-hmm. And you know what? So, Stu, seeing season one to season two, / only seeing a few episodes of season one and now season two.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
I don't know. I didn't know a lot of the things that have happened. I kind of wish he would go back to Miami. I don't know. I just loved a cowboy in Miami.
I don't know anything about
it. Yeah, that was just, I don't know, just that first... The beginning of the pilot just really got me. But I like that he returned home, but I kind of want him to go back to Miami. I hope there's a calling for him there someday.
All right, well...
I'm going to have to see season one.
As long as it's justified. As long as it's justified.
As long as it's justified.
All right, and that's your AfterBuzz TV news and gossip for Justified, March 16th, 2011.
And then...
Yes. And then...
So, Dexter, Miami. Justified, Miami. FX. Oh, well, Showtime, FX, whatever. Anyway, combine an episode. Huh?
What is this, like Super Friends?
Dextified? What?
Yeah, and Raylan goes after Dexter. Combined shows, pretty... That's a case. It's okay. A case of Raylan.
Why don't you pitch that?
Scalpel on Quick Draw a Gun? No?
I like how you did that.
Yeah.
It's a good thing you
did. All right, Stu, no one cares about your pitch.
So I was a little early on the predictions, I'm sorry.
So wait, is that your prediction that we're going to get what did you call it? Dextified.
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 That's one. My other one is considering what I've seen so far with coal mining explosions and RPGs and bank robberies. I hope I see a Dixie Mafia.
Oh yeah, they keep mentioning them. So I'm imagining.
They've mentioned it.
Oh yeah.
I didn't know this was.
Oh, they're on their way.
Oh,
have you seen the family that's taken over for the Crowders?
No.
Okay, well, see.
Okay.
This is why you will probably enjoy this season just as much as you did the first season, because once you see that family and what they do, and that's messed up. The mom of that family took a ball peen hammer.
By the way, we're watching the slowest chase on her.
Here it is. Yeah, this will take a while. So while that's happening, the mama... took a ball peen hammer to the hand of her son to teach him a lesson.
Oh,
it was just okay.
That's
nice.
Awesome. Yeah,
it was pretty. It was like, whoa, all right. And then right afterwards, okay. And what does he do? He goes crawling back to her and said, "Mama, I'm so sorry. I love you, Mama. I'm so sorry." He just had a hammer taken to his hand. I'm so sorry, Mama. It's why I go, who are these people?
I know.
Yeah, but it was. Amazing.
Excellent.
Interesting. I didn't realize today's predictions would sort of go into the greater discussion of the future of television.
Couldn't help it.
Well, we obviously know the money will be a big thing. And
Money will be a big thing.
But
I'm looking forward to, I'm just looking forward to that family and the Dixie Mafia coming after each other, because that's the two groups that are going to be colliding, and Raylan's going to be in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm. It'll be quite interesting. Well, thanks for... tuning in. Thanks for letting me host, of all people.
Yes. Well, I thought you did a fabulous job with the unbiased and objective viewpoint.
I had good co-hosts, so keep tuning in. This was our first video show for Justified, and we hopefully will have more if DJ Jesse allows us. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
For producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions, comments, or would like to host an AfterBuzz show of your own, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.